Story with Mayim Achronim. So the Gemara in Masechta Chulin on Daf Kaf Hey, believe it or not, says Mayim Achronim as opposed to what we do. Remember, we wash our hands beforehand, and we've explained that now at great length. We do that really at a purely rabbinic level, what we call Srach Truma, to prepare for a time when there's actually Truma, and the Kohanim have an obligation to purify their hands before, because Yadayim, we said, our second-degree conductors of Tumah, and Truma can become a Shlishi. So to help the Kohanim, remember, to prepare, we do it, not in all cases, but we do it in cases when we're going to eat bread. We do it on Pesach, Kol Shetivulo B'mashke, even though there's some people who are careful about that year-round, not very many people. But that is not as high level an obligation, according to the Gemara, as Mayim Achronim. The Gemara refers to it as Mayim Achronim as an actual Chova, as an obligation. So the question is, Dennis is wondering, you know, what exactly is going on here? And why is it that if the Gemara calls it a chova, an obligation, that water after we eat, before we bench, let's say, that should be an obligation? So the answer is that the rabbis were concerned for a danger, what we call a sakana. That's why there was never a bracha that was associated with Mayim Acharonim, because we don't make brachos on things that are established because of the sakana. The Rambam says that explicitly in Hilchos Brachos, in Sefer Ava, in Perek Yud Aleph. The Rambam makes that very clear. So the Bali Atosos, so this is the absolute Ashkenazic tradition, say the reason that the common practice is not to do Mayim Achronim anymore, as the entire, just one second, I'm explaining, okay, hold still, the entire basis of the practice is no longer relevant, because there is no danger that's posed to us. So who knows what the danger that was concerned, what danger were we concerned about? You say you have to wash your hands because we're concerned that a person might be exposed to what? Okay, what's that, Chana? Okay, the black plague. So there's, right, we know that Sodom was destroyed. We're warned about it in Parshas Lech Lecha. God actually destroys it in Parshas Vayera. The Torah talks about it again in Parshas Nitzavim. Gofris Vamelach Serefa Chalartza, that the salt, like sulfur, something like, you know, this kind of an atomic scene, like Kemapicha, Sodom v'Amorad, Ma'utzvayim. So the salt of Sodom, of course, the salt of Sodom is very destructive. Not only to destroy the entire city, but who do we have this, you know, this indelible image from Sefer Bereishis, where you have a person that goes from being flesh and blood to literally, you know, a heap of salt? Of course, Lot's wife. So Melech Sodomis was considered very dangerous, and particularly dangerous to which part of the body? The eyes, right? And it's an interesting thing, because if you think about it, this goes back to the Chumash itself. What scene does this remind us of in the Chumash, where people somehow got damaged in their eyes in Sodom? Remember, they surround the house in Parshas Vayera, and all of a sudden, Hikuba Sanverim. So our rabbis had a tradition that somehow there was this kind of a sodomite salt that was going around, and if people didn't wash their hands, we have a principle of yadayim askaniosein, right? That's why you wash your hands in the morning to begin with, is that your hands might go into your eyes, and a person might, God forbid, endanger or even blind themselves. So the Bali Atosos say, look, here in Germany and in France, we don't have any Melech Sodomis, and believe it or not, in Teaneck and Bergen County, we don't have any Melech Sodomis, so the entire basis of the practice no longer maintained. So this becomes a classical case in halacha where we have two different practices. The Bali Atosos say, even though the Gemara referred to it as a chova, the Gemara was saying it's an obligation when? It's an obligation when there is a clear and present danger, when you have this kind of salt. The Gemara never said it was an obligation per se. That's the opinion of the Bali Atosos. Others will disagree and say no. Okay, the rabbis certainly had a context for suggesting that we should have mayim achronim, again, water after we consume in a meal, but you know, once we have that practice, we have a very firm tradition within halacha that even if the reason no longer applies, so we continue to do certain things, what we call like a minhag avuseinu biyadeinu. So right now we have Yom Tov Sheni, even though we're not being mekadesh al yidei ha-ri'iyah, we're not being mekadesh the moon, we're not sanctifying the new month, by seeing it, we're using a calendar and the cheshbon, but nonetheless, we have a practice of keeping 2 days of Yontif as the diaspora communities did. So, this is the story with Mayim Achronim. So the Mayim Achronim, again, was never a bracha associated with it. It was a chova only in the sense of removing a sakana. And that's why the mainstream practice, as the Bali Atosos said over a thousand years ago, was that people, or 900 years ago, is that it really was only meant to be a chova, it was only meant to be an obligation, when there was any kind of a basis or concern. So that's the background to the Mishnah, because the Mishnah assumes that Mayim Achronim was being practiced. So this is one of these halachos, it's a collector's item. We actually paskin like Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel, because Beis Shammai was actually being more permissive, more lenient. We'll take a look. Beis Shammai Omrim, Mekaneach, Beis Shammai Omrim, Mechabdin es Habayit, Ve'achar kach nolin liyadayim. So they say we should sweep everything up, make sure there aren't any large pieces of bread that are left over, and then we'll have Mayim Achronim. So Beis Hillel say the opposite, nolin liyadayim. At first we should wash Mayim Achronim, Ve'achar kach, and after you finish with that, Mechabdin es Habayit, you can sweep away all the crumbs. It's like a funny thing. Why would they care when exactly you sweep away the crumbs? So what they're really having a machlokas about is who you are allowed to employ in the context of your home. So Beis Shammai takes a permissive view, and they say that it's mutar la'adam l'shamesh b'shamash am ha'aretz. You could have somebody working in your home who is not very familiar with the halachos, and he's not going to be so fastidious, and he's not going to be careful about picking up pieces of bread that are larger than a kezias. Things that are larger than a kezias, we're concerned about wasting. Things that are smaller than a kezias, we're not just throwing them out, but they're considered perurim. There's really not an inyan, not a concern of bal tashchis, of being wasteful. So if the shamash is an am ha'aretz, as Beis Shammai permits, he's going to leave out large pieces of bread, maybe full rolls. And then what do we have to be concerned about? If people would leave those out and they would do mayim achronim, if mayim achronim is supposed to remove the melech sedomis, and it's, right, you know, got this dangerous residue on it, and then it gets on the bread, then what's going to happen? That bread is, like, super dangerous. It's toxic. It's radioactive. It's been contaminated, and all of that is going to be destroyed. So Beis Shammai say, because we're permissive with respect to employing people who aren't so familiar with these halachos in one's household, one has to be very, very, very careful. And mechabdin es habayis, first you have to remove all of the pieces of bread, because we're afraid that this person is going to leave over large pieces of bread, which could then be wasted. Ve'achar kach nolin liyadayim. Beis Hillel has a chumrah. Beis Hillel says, no. Whoever said that you're allowed to use a shamash who's in Amaretz? No way. You have to find a shamash who's learned 10 years in yeshiva minimum. They don't say that. But they have to use somebody that's a Talmud Chacham. He knows all of the halachos. So there's no chashash. There's no reason to be concerned that he's going to leave out large pieces of bread. And if he's not going to leave out large pieces of bread, then there's really not a concern that they're going to go to waste, because somehow they're going to come into contact or be contaminated by this Mayim Achronim. And since we're not really concerned about that reality, so Beis Hillel are going to say, Notlin Liyadayim, first you do the Mayim Achronim, and then Mechabdin Es Habayis, and you can sweep up after that. So really, when you dig down underneath the Mishnah a few layers, what happens is that Beis Shammai is the one who's really permissive. So it sounds like they're the ones who are being machmir. They're ones who are being really careful about mechabdin es habayis. You have to get all the food away, and then you put away then you take care of the mayim achronim. But really, deep down, Beis Shammai is mekel. So no surprise here, and it is surprising that we paskin like Beis Shammai, but no surprise in the sense that the instance in which we paskin like Beis Shammai, that's the time that Beis Shammai are actually being permissive. That's the time that they're actually being lenient here. So this has not come up in such practical terms, except for one way. Can anybody think, somebody who's seen Mayim Achronim practice, in what way can we hear a little bit of an echo of this Mishnah? What do we do with the Mayim Achronim? We pass it around, and then what is it? What happens? What's that, Effie?
Cover it.
Right. You cover it, you remove it from the table, you make sure that it's no longer present. Again, so what's that an echo of? Why would we do that? Why would we be so concerned? Is just water is sitting there? What's the big deal?
Still.
Right. So if you go back to the original, again, you know, the origins of this practice, you'd be concerned for Melech Sdomis. Do you want that sitting around? Of course not. So you hear a little bit of an echo of it. Again, mainstream Ashkenazic practice, Tosfos, Masechta Chulin, Daf Kofei, right there on the spot, they say, yes, it's true. The Gemara refers to Mayim Achronim as a chova, as an absolute obligation, but the rabbis only determined that it should be a chova if there was a reasonable chance that there was sodomite salt around. So if you go to the store, you go to Stop and Shop, you go to ShopRite. I've checked the aisles many times. I haven't seen sodomite salt once anywhere. You have the salt with the iodine, you have the salt without the iodine, you have the kosher salt, you have the street salt. Again, if I see at any point in any local establishment sodomite salt, you will get a message from the rabbi the next day. Mayim Achronim is an absolute chova. Dr. Resnick, go ahead.
Yeah.